Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of an introduction to Hilchot Chanukah. So, yes. So, towards the very, very end of Zmanim, and Zmanim is very, 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 very long. Zmanim. I sent it to you, right? The Rambam, the Mishneh Torah. Right to the end of Hilchot Zmanim, which is a nice short 97 prakim long. Yes, that's why it was very exciting when Meir and I finished. It was like, finally, we got to the end of Zmanim. Deep breath. The end of Zmanim. So, first of all, you should just know that Hilchot Megillah and Chanukah starts very differently than the rest of Mishneh Torah. Because most of Mishneh Torah, how does each section start? Before that, Yesh Bechalan. Yeah, it'll tell you the mitzvot that are going to be covered. Obviously, here it says Yesh Bechalan Shtei Mitzvot Aseh Midivrei Sofrim VeEinan Min HaMinyan. It tells you right off the bat here there are two rabbinic mitzvot, and they are not part of the count. Why are they not part of the count?
Because they're rabbinic.
Now you would think that that would be a good argument. It's not. I mean, it's good for the Rambam, but if you remember.
It's a good argument.
The fact that it's rabbinic makes it not part of the 613 mitzvot. Yeah. But as anyone who has read the Rambam's Shor HaShim know, the Rambam spent much of the Shor HaShim trying to prove that point because the Bahag did not believe it. The Baal Halacha Gedolot indeed counted rabbinic law in the 613 mitzvot, which is why the Rambam... What? He was just saying that rabbinic law was counted in the 630 mitzvot. And that's why the Rambam, in the beginning of the Shor HaShim, says, no, no, no. And the Ramban says, why not? Why do you think the Bahag is so wrong? Why can't you deal with the Bahag? Come on. Why do you hate the Bahag so much? Because, you know, the Ramban devoted half his life to defending different early poskim, right? He wrote his defense of the Bahag in the Sefer HaMitzvot. He wrote his defense of the Rif in the Milchamot. The Ramban was into this whole genre of defending people. Why? Interesting question. Rabbi Itamar Rosenzweig wrote one of the chapters in his dissertation on the Ramban on this topic, so you can look there if you are interested. Did you just bang on your knee and say respect? Is that supposed to explain why the Ramban devoted half his life to defending the earlier Poskim? Sure. A berach, it's a berach. Okay. So Hilchot Megillah Chanukah, four prakim, no d'oraita mitzvot at all. Only rabbinic mitzvot. The first two prakim are Hilchot Megillah. On Purim. Yes, about Halachot of Purim. But then Halacha Gimel picks up Hilchot Chanukah. Right? Picks up Hilchot Chanukah. Now, what's weird, right? What is weird about how it picks up? It starts with a story. It starts with a story. What? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, that's not crazy. So the Rambam starts off uniquely in the beginning of Hilchot Chanukah with a story, right, which the Rambam doesn't usually do. Sometimes he does, right? Where else does the Rambam tell you a little bit of a story? Nope. Look, so you look. Tell me, does he? No, he doesn't. No story. Nope. So in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, he tells you the story of how people came to be idolaters. Remember that story? First, people started serving the representation. First, they understood it was a representation of God. And then they started worshiping that. And then they started that. By the end, they forgot. Right? And that it was a representation, a representation, a representation. And the world was lost until Avram Avinu came. But the Rambam doesn't normally tell stories. That's different because the Rambam was obsessed with Avram. Completely and totally obsessed with Avram. We know that. No. He was obsessed with the Rambam, with Avram, and that's why he named his son after him. Other way around, right? He was obsessed with Avram, and therefore he named his son for him. L'chaim. So yes, he starts with a story, and he says, "B'bayit sheni kishemalchut Yavan gazug zerot Yisrael uvatlu datam v'lo nichotam lasok b'Torah v'mitzvot." In the second Beit Hamikdash, when the Greek kings made decrees against the Jews and nullified their religion and didn't allow them to learn Torah or mitzvot, upashtu yadam imamonam, and they extended their hands against their money, uvnotehem, and their daughters, v'nichnasu leichal, upartu bo pirsot, v'timu ataharot, and they went into the Beit HaMikdash, and they breached it, and they made the pure impure, v'tzar lehem leYisrael, they caused pain to the Jews, me'od, a lot, v'pneihem, v'lachatsum lachatz gadol, they caused them a stress, ad shirichem aleihem elohei avoteinu, until God had mercy on them. Voshiam miadam vitzilam v'gavru b'nei chashmonai ha-kohanim ha-gdolim v'hargum voshiu Yisrael miadam, until God saved them, and the Hasmoneans, the high priests, got up and killed them. Voshiu Yisrael miadam, and saved the Jews. V'aminu melech min ha-kohanim, and they made a king from amongst the kohanim, even though a king is not supposed to be from the kohanim. V'chazra malchut l'Yisrael yeter al-matayim shana. And the rulership returned to the Jewish people for more than 200 years, ad ha-churban ha-sheni, until the second churban, ukisha gavru, Yisrael al oyveihem, and when the Jews defeated their enemies, v'ibdum, and destroyed them, mechamisha ve'esrim b'chodesh kislev, on the 25th day of Kislev, haya, that's the date, v'nechnesu leichal, and they came into the Mikdash, and they didn't find pure oil. There was only enough oil for one day. And they managed to light for 8 days until they could make new oil from olives. Because of this, the Chachamim instituted that these 8 days that started the 25th should be days of praising God and joy. And you light candles or you light lamps ba'erev in the evening, pitchei abatim at your doors, b'chalayla ulayla mishmora alayla laharot ulegalot hanes. V'yamim elu anikra'in Chanukah. And these days are Chanukah. V'hei ein asurin behespeid v'ta'anid. It is forbidden to eulogies or fast. Kimya purim, just like purim. V'adlakad anir ben mitzvah midivei sofrim. And the rabbinic mitzvah here is the lighting of the candles. Kikriyat ha-megillah. Okay, so let's pause there. And let's talk about this story. So, before I know I gave you some sources about it, but before you tell me what the sources say, if I ask you, right, what possibilities might there be to explain why it would be that the Rambam would start this set of halachot, which he doesn't with everything, with a story?
Because there's no deraisa.
What?
Because there's no deraisa mitzvahs, therefore he wants to give stories so that we have context for
what I said, if you did, is that what you have said, if you didn't know the source?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Because I did not read the second source.
Okay, good. Okay, right. So I think I could definitely have seen someone going in that direction, right? And it still might also be true, right? Which is, so for example, the Bach, right? Famously, in Arachaim Tafresh Chaf Hei, that There are certain mitzvot where cognizance of the story or the rationale behind the mitzvah is central to the fulfillment of the mitzvah itself. Right? What does he identify? What mitzvah does he identify? What's the magic word for him? No. No. Lima'an. And whenever the Torah says that you do X so that, right? So, for example, the most famous that he quotes, Top Rosh Chafei is, Hilchot, Sukkah, that you sit in Sukkah so that you will know. The Bach says, from here you learn, that if you sit in the Sukkah and you're not cognizant of the fact that you're sitting in the Sukkah because God kept you in Sukkot. Okay. That's the mitzvah to tell the story. No. But the sukkah isn't about telling a story. It's an act of a mitzvah. The story isn't part of it. And nevertheless, the pasuk says, lema'an. And therefore, right, so the bach there is machadesh, that you're not yotzeh, the mitzvah of sukkah, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, unless when you're sitting in the sukkah, you're cognizant of the rationale. Right? So that's the chiddush. Now he has three examples. What are his three? It's three lema'ans. What are the three lema'ans? Tzitzis and tefillin. Right? Right, tefillin is the mantiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha, right? So you have to understand that the purpose is that you, right, Torah becomes part of your life, and da-da-da. But he argues that whenever the Torah says leman, it's telling you that this isn't just a rationale, it's not just a tama mitzvah, but it's part of the surah mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah itself. Right? That this is not just like it enhances it, like, oh, it's more meaningful. Like, no, it being meaningful in this particular way is necessary to the mitzvah itself, right? So you could have taken essentially, what Mordechai essentially is saying is essentially a Bach-esque svara for Hanukkah.
And because of this, you got to any new institution.
Not necessarily, because it didn't say it by Megillah, right? You would say it by Hanukkah, that if the Rambam, so you could have said this very lumdishly, that because the reason the Rambam tells you the story, is the story isn't just a why, it's a what,
and
right? That you have to do the
reason that you didn't say this for the story by Purim.
He does not do the story of Purim, and he does not do Hanukkah first. He does Megillah first. This is Perek Gimel. What? Say it again. Okay, good. But Mo says and Kobe says, which is the Rav said. Apparently, the Rav said this as a younger child. I don't really. I don't know. I don't know. Mayer figured it out by himself. I was learning with Mayer, and Mayer got it right away.
Do you want to cheat?
I asked Mayer, and he's like, I know why the Rambam included this story. He got the Rosh word.
How old is Mayer?
What you just said, because the Rambam meant that you should be able to have the Mishnah Torah and Tanakh, and that's it. Like, just like that.
I learned this.
So why shouldn't you say it as a kid? Mayer was just like, boom. Like, it does not explain about Dizara. That's simply because he was obsessed with Avraham. I'm just convinced. I'm just telling you, it's like, he like attests to the fact that he had an irrational of love. He had like an irrational love of, not irrational. He had like deeply passionate love the Rambam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, I just love Avraham. I'm Moshe, but like, you know. What more do you need? Where is that? That's it. This is all there is. This is what we know. If all you knew was the Gemara, this is what you have.
It's from the Gemara, isn't it?
No. It's Bacchus.
The two books of Maccabees.
So. But yeah, the Rav argued that that's not what's going on. That there's nothing so, right? What's going on is very important to understand, not Hanukkah, but to understand the Mishnah Torah and how it works, right? So he notes that at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says that Na'arti Chatzani Ani Moshe Ben Maimon Asfaradi V'Nishanti Al Atzur Baruch Hu V'Noti B'Chol Eilu Atzvarim Ra'iti L'Chaber Dvarim Barim Mikol Eilu Chimurim Minyana right? I decided I'm going to bring together everything. Kol atara kula, everything there ever was to know. Kulam bilashon brura, v'derech tara, clear and short. Ashe Torah shebal peh kulas tura b'fi hakol, b'lo kusha v'lo peruk. So all of Torah is clear with no questions and no answers. It didn't work. Shocking! Shocking, Kobe. Great time. One second. Dvarim brurim krovim nechonim al pi ha-mishpat ha-yishir Rebbe Kolei b'chorim v'rishim v'nitzim v'mot Moshe ha-kodesh v'arachshav. Right, basically, everything, all statements that were relevant, you know, since Moshe Rabbeinu until now. It's very, very not ambitious work. Everything since Moshe. Got it, guys? Woo! What?
I don't think he thought so.
And I don't think he did. That's the scary thing. I don't think he think he did, but I really don't think he did. You can disagree how he reads certain sources, but I don't know. Is there any evidence he lift missed something? No, not particularly. No, not really. It's a little bit scary. I mean, no, it didn't work that people stopped, that no, it stopped all questions. Everyone's like, yep, that's it. No more questions. We're good. That didn't work very well. The Rambam would have been a little bit offended by commentaries that, you know, said, but wait a second, can we go back through the Gemara extensively? Yeah, but okay. The Fichach Karati Shim Chibur Zem Mishneh Torah, Lefisha, and therefore I wrote this, and I called it Mishneh Torah, Lefisha Adam Karei Betarash Bechtav Tchila, because here's what I want you to do. Tanach, Vachar Kori Bazeh, Mishneh Torah, Yodeh Aminah Torah Shabal Peh Kula, and then you'll know all of Torah Shabal Peh, and you'll be done. Two books, your entire shelf, your you know, it'll save space in your house. A Tanakh, Mishneh Torah, and if you got this one volume Mishneh Torah and the one volume Tanakh.
Why are there so many different books in the place?
Yeah, I know. We should just have one shelf of the one volume Rambams and one of the Tanakh. And then when people tell me, I don't know, I'll be like, you don't know? There are only two books in the entire world you need to know, and you haven't even read them, people. That is the only reason I'm tempted to have it, to do that, right? It's like, look, these are the only two books you need to know. You have 1 year. Learn it all. By next year, if you do not know it, I will be angry.
Wait, we have a third shelf with Siddur Rambam.
What? No. No, it's not crazy at all. I don't think that's a crazy model for a yeshiva. It's like literally, first of all, that would be the cheapest yeshiva to set up. It's like, we don't need a library. We need a sitter. We need siddurim.
I just said no,
right?
Rambam siddur. I said one shelf Rambam siddurs, one shelf.
Even though technically you could probably daven based on the sitter in the Rambam.
Wait,
it's a little bit annoying. So like, fine. But basically, you would say, look, we will have a shelf, right? And all you will do all day, you will learn 12 hours a day, Tanakh, Mishneh Torah. By the end of the year, you will know both of these really well. If you don't, you are fired. Right, you had one task, and you failed. No, you have to know all of this first. We divide the year. You divide the year. Everyone has to finish this by Purim. Then we get like 4 months of the year, and we'll do. We'll teach you how to think. Yalla, right? Okay. Very good. So, sorry. So, now, therefore what? So very simple. So, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, well, wait a second. If, according to the Rambam, the logic of the Mishneh Torah was that you should be able to know all of Torah Shebaal Peh from Mishneh Torah, right? And so the only two books in your library would be a Tanakh, a beautiful Tanakh, don't get me wrong. Beautiful, it could be the most beautiful Tanakh.
Koran Megerman edition.
You could have the beautiful Koran one with your name engraved on the front in
and
whatever color you have. Just don't get the weird jean one, it's really a little bit weird.
Do not hate
have
on
you
the
seen?
Jitter and the Janakh.
No,
the
it's weird.
The Jitter and the Janakh are the great.
No, it's not, it's weird.
No, they're not.
I'm sorry. You want your cover for your Tanakh to be made out of jean, that's fine. Except on the back of it, it has the little like leather brown thing that's where your tush is, right? They put it on the back. It's weird. It looks odd. It's very strange, you know? What? It looks like pants. It's just weird. It's very odd. Like, Mayer has a neon green one. That was what he picked out. What? It's really weird. I don't know.
That's how you open the sitter.
Look.
Oh my God.
I mean, look. It's really weird. Yeah, like, look, bell loop. I mean, look.
The jitter.
I don't get it.
Wow. That is amazing.
That's all Tanakh in there?
Yeah. This is, no, this is the sitter, but the Tanakh looks the same. But I don't care the jean color. What is with making it look like the back of your pants?
No, this is obvious. It's not mine. I have that one.
But the Tanakh, by the way, has those same things for each book. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
But okay.
Besides, I have it enough with the tab. It's very
besides the jean color that scares me a little bit. Not the color, but the thing that looks like the pants at the, and it would look weird.
I don't know. It bothers me. I don't get it. I don't quite get it.
It's just a regular Corinth door. It's a friend Zach's door.
Yes, except whatever. I don't get it. Guys. But the Rav said, wait a second. If the point of the Rambam is that you could know all of Torah with two books on your shelf, so now that's not too ridiculous, right? So what? Yeah, that's what the Ravid's critique is. What do you want from me? That was what the Ravid said. Different kasha. So you're coming to the Ravid, right? But that's not like the question here. But the Rav pointed out is the real reason the Rambam may include the history here is a very simple point, which is that if you read all of Tanakh, then you don't need him to tell you the story of Pesach. You don't need him to tell the story of Sukkot. You don't need him to tell you the story of Purim. Tanakh. Not technically. It is an entire book in Tanakh. Right? And therefore, he doesn't need to tell you that because you have it on that other book on your shelf. It's not like you have to go searching. There are only two books on your shelf. Right? There are only two books in your library. Right? And the other one has the story. However, Hanukkah, you don't have the Book of the Apocrypha on your shelf. Right?
You don't have
a Gemara on your shelf. So how are you supposed to know what this thing is called Hanukkah? Answer. The Rambam will tell you. This is the entire version of the Gemara also. Gemara is not much longer than this.
No, but you could read the Book of Maccabees.
You could, but if you're following Chazal, this is about the entirety of the story that you would know. It's about a paragraph. What? Many zero times. Many zero times, right? And, right, so obviously in Megillah, that's not the story.
I did cheat, by the way, with this reason, because I did study this last year for Hanukkah with the Mishnah Torah.
Okay. So, I don't think that's cheating. That's called learning.
I didn't give you context when I gave you the answer, so you assumed that I'd come up with the answer on my own.
Okay. I'm not insulted. You learn Torah. That makes me happy.
I'm happy that you're happy, Rob.
I try very hard to get people to learn Torah. I get very frustrated, if you've noticed, when people didn't learn Torah before they got to my shir.
Can I say what we were saying earlier about like what books we want to go through? Or like what sources we want to go through? I like the Mishnah Torah because it's concise. And...
Okay, can we get through this? Okay. Now, of course, right? The Rav pointed out that this is why Shulchan Aruch did not do this because Shulchan Aruch's goal is very different. What is Shulchan Aruch's goal? Tell you halacha l'maisa, right? It's to tell you practical law, and for practical law, yeah. And he has a different order in general. He has a different order, right? Because he follows the Torah's order, which is much more practical rather than thematic. Practical halacha. Practical halacha. Yes. Therefore, halacha which are not practical, for the most part, get left out. Kabbalah is left out entirely. Okay. Fine. That's probably what I wanted to make. The second point, and I had a back and forth with Kobe a lot on this on WhatsApp, is that the Rambam says something very, very striking. About the very definition of Hanukkah. That is, what is the mitzvah of Hanukkah according to the Rambam?
It's to light candles?
It's hadlaka nerot. That's clear, right? He says that at the end. of halacha gimel. But lakat neirot bahen mitzvah mitivei sofrim kikogre megillah. Right, just like Purim has a main mitzvah derabanan, and that is the reading of the Megillah. Chanukah is a main mitzvah, and that is
Purim is four.
Yes, but for the Rambam, the mitzvah that he defines with Purim is Kriyat Megillah. Right. However, that only makes it more striking that before the Rambam introduced the idea of Hadlaka Nerot, what seeming mitzvah did the Rambam introduce? Kobe, you're looking at it as if we didn't discuss this. Right? What mitzvah does he introduce that he doesn't call the mitzvah? Hallel. Right? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not number five. Go to number five.
I'm in the Rambam. He says, "Umneizet kinocham shavuot ador shush monat yemei ma'elu shvitchilan milel chamisha esrim mikizav yemei simcha vehalel." Right, which means that before the Rambam even tells you what the mitzvah of the day is, he tells you about halal. But if it's not the mitzvah of the day, then what is it?
It's one of the next four songs.
No. Then he would tell you.
It's a minhag.
No.
No.
It's a mitzvah that you do per.
Read what the Rambam says! Mipnei zet kino chacham and shodos or. Meaning, no, it's yimei simcha vihalel.
The days themselves are.
Thank you. The Rambam is telling you is halal isn't something you do on Chanukah. It is Chanukah. Chanukah are defined, essentially. What do you do on Chanukah?
You halal.
No. You light candles. What is Chanukah?
Halal.
Days of Simcha, the halal. Correct. Right? So for the Rambam, it seems like the theme of halal is not just something you do. It's what Chanukah is. And I, as I said to Kobe, right, this is quite striking because, now where did he get this, by the way, where did he get this crazy idea?
The Gemara?
The Gemara, right? Because the Gemara in eight words, in after describing that same story,
says what?
L'shana acheret, the next year, kva'um, they established, va'asa'um, and they made them, Yamim Tovim, holidays, how? Bihalel Vahoda'a, with Hallel and Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
That's why we said, by the way, that's why we said Hallel Musaf this morning for Thanksgiving. We'll do it again tomorrow for Black Friday. I said this joke 4 or 5 times, and we say it another 5 times.
Okay, this is not the Spanish Portuguese shul where you say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, on Hanukkah, right? But not necessarily in Rosh Chodesh, right? Because, you know.
I promise.
Right, because they're Sephardi, right? So you know, Rosh Chodesh, not the Bracha, but on Thanksgiving, they have a minute going back to Lincoln that they say hello.
I remember hearing about that because it was so
Spanish Portuguese. Yeah, share this. There's a mitzvah as a minute to say hello since Lincoln.
I'm
not sure.
One Thanksgiving.
Oh, hello.
I thought it was Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. That's why we.
I know, but I'm telling you that Spanish Portuguese says Hallel on Thanksgiving. No, because they have a minhag going back to Lincoln. What?
Do they say a bracha?
I'm not sure. I've always wondered if they say a bracha. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I didn't say a bracha this morning.
So I don't know the answer to that question. Anyways, but yeah, this is another point that seems to be clear about Hanukkah that's very interesting, is that Hallel seems to, again, not just be something we do on Hanukkah, but it's what Hanukkah is. Now, and therefore I pointed out to Kobe that, halachically, there are only 18 days a year, according to the Gemara in Erechin, right, that we say Hallel. Right? And the Gemara's general rule there is, what are the rules of the 18 days? When do we say it? When there's an Isra Melacha, right? Things like that. What are the 18 days? And it's a Moed, right? So the Gemara says that you say a Hallel when there's a Moed. When there's a Moed and an Isra Melacha. So then the Gemara says, well, what days do you have Moed and Isra Melacha? So the Gemara says 18 in Eretz Yisrael, 21 in Chol Hamoed. So what days are they? Let's go through them.
Wait, Hanukkah.
Leave Hanukkah for a second. Pesach, day one.
Pesach.
No, Pesach they won.
All of Sukkot.
Shavuot.
Sukkot.
And Sukkot, all of Sukkot. So 8 days on Sukkot, seven
that's,
plus one.
That's 10.
Right, that's 10, and 8 days of Hanukkah, that's 18.
Yes.
That's it, right? Now, what's amazing about that Gemara? What's amazing about the Gemara is that Gemara says, wait a second, what's the rule? When do you say Hallel? If there's a Moed, and there's an Isra Malacha.
Wow.
So much so is the Gemara committed to that, that on Pesach, how many days of Pesach do you say Hallel?
Only one.
Only one, right? On Sukkot, how many should you say it on?
Eight.
So the Gemara says, really, like Pesach, you don't say it on one day. Why do we say it every day? Because it's different Garbanot, right? And therefore, it's sort of like a different holiday. But that means that Pesach is not just that it's a Moed. It's that each Moed only gets it once. Right? That's what it's saying. Is that Pesach is essentially one big Moed, and therefore you get it once. Sukkot, each day is sort of a different Moed, and therefore you get it every day. The only one where the Gemara doesn't see need to explain itself
is Hanukkah,
even though it is neither a Moed, nor is there an Isra Malacha, right? And yet the Gemara doesn't even blink, right? Doesn't flinch when we say, and by the way, we say Hallel on Hanukkah all 8 days, which is something, again, we don't do on Pesach, right? Oh, good, why? And now I ask you, right, why? Very good, because it seems like that on Hanukkah, saying Hallel isn't just something we do.
Wait,
it's what it is.
No. Normally, you
say, good. So, what does it mean? What does it mean for something to be Yimei Hallel this Simcha? What's the other day like this, by the way? That's a day of Simcha.
Yom Kippur?
No, Purim. Purim is Mishteva Simcha. And do you say Hallel on Purim?
No.
No, but because of Megillah. Right? Now, what's the common denominator between them?
They're Derabbanan.
Yes, the Derabbanan.
They're holidays that are purely defined by the Simcha.
First of all, they seem both to be defined by the Simcha. And also, I would argue that what lies in the background of that Simcha?
A story where we should have been killed, but we weren't.
No, that's true of a lot of things. But what is the nature of the mitzvot of that day? Because what are the magic words? Bishuminisa, right? And I've argued before, but I don't want to go through it too much, but it seems clear in Rabbeinu Yonah, in Brachot, and even clearer in the Yichusei Tanaim Amoraim, in different places of the Rivak, Rech Kalanamos, one of the Balei Tosfot, that a proper understanding of Purim will make you realize that it's not that on Purim there's a mitzvah of Pirsum Me'inisa and there's a mitzvah of Simcha. But rather, Simcha is part of the Pirsum Me'inis. Why? Because as Rabbeinu Yonah says in Brachot, when you rejoice because of a miracle, what are you doing? You're showing everyone that you believe that the miracle happened and that it's something worth celebrating because you're being happy. Why are you so happy today? Because it was a miracle, right? So I would argue that the reason that Hanukkah becomes defined, and Purim, to be fair, becomes defined, but Hanukkah more, and you actually have Hallel b'Foel, right, in practice, and not just, which is replaced with Megillah, that it's not just that you happen to say Hallel, but that the Rambam actually defines it as Yimei Simcha. The Hallel, and therefore we have Hallel on every day of Hanukkah, right? Yes, so much so that the Rambam actually chooses when in all of Mishneh Torah is he going to teach you the laws of Hallel?
In Hanukkah.
Is because of that role of Pirsum Anisa, because of Pirsum Anis lying in the background, because Simcha itself is part of the Pirsum Anis, therefore Hallel, again, is not just something we do on Hanukkah, it just defines the experience of these days. Right? So those are the two points I really wanted to make in the introduction of Hilchot Hanukkah, right? One is this idea that why is the Rambam introduced the story? Again, I don't think it's impossible to come up with a Bach-like Svara, right? To say that the story has a more central role to the mitzvah itself than it does on, let's say, other holidays. I don't think that's an impossible thing to say. But I do think the more reasonable svara is what the Rav said, right? Is that, no, it's much more pragmatic, which is the Rambam expects. They only have two svarim on your shelf, which is Tanakh and Mishneh Torah. And since the law, the story of Hanukkah doesn't appear in Tanakh, he has to tell it to you. And the second point is that the Rambam has this very hard to understand halacha, where on the one hand, he tells you that the mitzvah midivrei soferim that you have on Hanukkah is hadlaka nerot, but before he did that, he said it was halel, right? Yemei simcha v'halel. And I think that's because the Rambam is telling you that Hallel on Hanukkah isn't just something you do. It's what Hanukkah is, right? It's a day in which we rejoice. I would argue because of Pirsum Anais, and therefore the happiness and the rejoicing and the thanking of God, right, is about transforming the days and the experience. Right? It's not just something that you do. It's an expression of the very essence of the day. And that's why there is no machloket about whether we say Hallel with a bracha shalem on all of Hanukkah, even though there is basically every other holiday, right, where we're much more limited in terms of what we do. And yes, that seems to be why I think the Rambam wants to teach you the halacha of Hallel, specifically in the context of Hanukkah. Yeah.
If the Hallel defines the day in the sense that it is a Yom Simcha of the Hallel, could it be that like, in contrast to that, instead of doing the same Hallel that, like, we do on Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, where it's for a standard holiday, since the point of the hallel is like more young.
No, think about it. We say Hallel Shalem on Hanukkah more than we do on any other holiday the entire year. So what do you mean not standard? Everyone, right? In terms of numbers, this is the standard. Everything else is less standard.
Right, but...
So no. It's not a different holiday. What do you mean? This is, of the 18 days, this is 8 of them. Okay, let's stop there.